relationships, and I am an expert. What makes me an expert? Yes, I'm a parent. I'm a father. I'm a husband. But what makes me an expert is I have failed in every way possible in all of those areas. I hopefully learn from my experiences and my mistakes. We have been talking about a passage of Scripture in the book of Ephesians, and the men were excited when we read the first passage of Scripture. It said, "Husbands, submit to your wives," and they really thought that was great. But we learned, Ron, that it's not about dominance. It's not about putting somebody under our thumb and making them do what we want them to do, because the passage of Scripture that we're talking about for the last 3 weeks, 2 weeks and today, is all under the passage of Scripture that precedes that, that says, submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. God is a God of order, and He puts things in a particular way for our benefit. And if we don't follow that, things get messed up pretty quick. He knows what is best. Now, if you read through the passage in Ephesians chapter 5, it starts out, wives submit to your husbands, and it says, husbands love your wives, and then it goes through and it gets to the children. I had a sermon title picked out for this, and was it yesterday morning? Pastor Gary was asking me what my sermon title was to put it in the slides. Might as well get to it, huh? And I changed it. You see, normally I would preach on this subject, and it would be entitled, Children, Obey Your Parents. Now, I know every parent in here would like me to talk to the children about being obedient. But I had a thought, and it wasn't too late, the bulletin wasn't done, and so I changed it to Parents, Mind Your Children. Now that title can be taken two ways, and I've seen it done both ways. I was in the grocery store, and probably if you've ever had a child, you've had this experience. The store has put something at child level that they know they're going to want. And that child sees it and wants it. And there was no exception that day. This child was taking stuff off the rack, and the parent was putting it back, and there was just this fight going on. And pretty soon, my mic's a little hot. If you turn it down just a little bit, there's a ringing in my ear, and I don't think it's Meniere's disease. There we go. Thanks. The child started throwing a tantrum. Now, as a parent, what do you want to do at that point in time? You want to do anything to make that child stop kicking and screaming and yelling in the store because everybody is looking at you. And this mother, you know, please be quiet. Everything's going to be okay. You know, we need to put this back. You don't really need that. Tried all those things. And eventually the mother decided that the best thing to do was to give in to the child and give the child what she wanted to quiet her down. Who was minding who at that point in time? The mother was minding the child. I heard a parent say, the reason my children do what they do is because I get tired of telling them no. If you don't tell them no, parents, how are they going to learn what is right and what is wrong, what is appropriate and what is inappropriate? God put you here on this planet for a reason. And it wasn't to just have a child and then send them on their own and hopefully they'll grow up. Well, hopefully they'll survive childhood, become an adult. But, you know, children are not self, well, got to be careful. Children are self-taught when we don't step in and teach them. When I was really young, I watched my father play the guitar. And I wanted to learn how to play the guitar in the worst way. But you see, my dad had an experience growing up where he had used the talent that God gave him for the devil. By the age of 15, he was one of the top steel guitar players in the nation. And he played with the top touring swing band called Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys. And at 15, he was going into bars and dance halls where he shouldn't have been, but he was good enough that they let him in. He saw things, did things he shouldn't have, because he grew up a Seventh-day Adventist. His mother was an Adventist. His father was not. Father supported him going out there and making more money in one night than Grandpa made all month as a carpenter. He didn't want his children to do that, so he wouldn't teach me to play the guitar. But he didn't ban me from watching him. You can learn a lot by watching. And so I'd watch my father play, and I would take mental pictures, and he would go off to do whatever he did, and I would pick up his guitar, and I would try to emulate what I saw. I taught myself how to play the guitar by watching my father. Our children learn how to live life by watching us parents. That's a scary thought sometimes. Our passage of Scripture is found in Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 1. Children, obey your parents, once again in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. There's some instructional meat here for us as a family. The children need to obey the parents. Now, for the last year and a half, Pastor Gary and I, as the pastors, have tried to take back our church. That sounds kind of funny. But just this morning, I noticed, and it was pointed out to me by a couple of people, that we had children just running free throughout the church property. We had children in rooms where they weren't supposed to be. And I have to ask, parents, do you know where your children are? How many of you have children? Some of you don't want to admit it because you know what's coming next. Do you know where they are right now? If you don't, you're excused to go find them. Because a child left to their own amusements does what? Gets into trouble. And trust me, I know, because I was good at it. I tell some of my stories to the kids during worship time, and the teachers just shake their head going, you're giving them ideas. These children don't need any more ideas. Parents, if you want your child to obey you, I'm going to suggest that you have to be a model person yourself. Because the phrase of don't do what I do what I say does not work with a child. It works for a few years, but then they start watching you and they start following what you do. Here's what happened in my life. As a parent, and a person who liked to watch TV, there were programs on TV, and many of them are not child appropriate. And I'm talking about under the age of 25. What used to be rated R is now just main primetime TV. And there was a program that I wanted to watch, and fortunately it came on just about the time my girls needed to go to bed. And so I would send them off a little early to make sure that they were away for me to be able to turn to that channel and watch that TV program. And one night, as I was sending them off to bed, my oldest daughter said, "Daddy, you're sending us to bed early." And I said, "Yes, I want to watch my program, and it's not appropriate for you." Out of the mouth of children. She said, "Daddy, if it's not appropriate for me, why is it appropriate for you?" Wow. "Because I'm older. Because I'm the daddy, that's why." You can use all those excuses, but if it's not appropriate for children, the Bible says, unless we become as a little child, we're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. I want to be in heaven. I've got to be careful what I let go in through my senses and my body, my vision, my hearing, my smell, my touch. All of that has to be guarded. We think we're adults and we can handle it. We can sift out the bad. Did you know your brain is a hard drive and everything you've ever seen or experienced is still stored there? You may just have a memory problem. Your RAM memory has quit working. Wouldn't that be nice to just open it up and stick a new chip in there? But it's still there, and your body subconsciously processes everything you've ever seen or done. I got to thinking about what my oldest said. "If it's not appropriate for me, Daddy, why should you be watching it?" And I don't know if Jennifer heard that or not, but not very long after that, a plaque showed up on my desk at home. And it said, "Be careful where your heart goes, because a smaller heart is following yours." I was addicted to that TV program. You don't have to have drugs to have an addiction. And I said, "God, I need help with that. I want to be the best father. I want to teach my child what is appropriate and what would be pleasing to you. I need your help. Would you please help me?" And you know what? God is awesome. He moved that TV program to Friday night. TV executives thought it was their program decision, but God did that for me. Several years later, we were walking through Costco down the video aisle, and here was a whole box of the whole series of that TV program from episode 1 to the last episode. And Carrie said, "Daddy, look, your favorite program, why don't you buy it?" I said, "No, God delivered me from that." My daughters are watching me. Some of your children, through school and other places where they come in contact with me, they're watching me. I have to be careful, careful. Parents, mind your children. Take care of them. If you want them to obey you, I want to review a little bit for the last 2 weeks. What's the most important relationship that you can possibly have? God. Parents, you want your children to obey you? May I suggest strongly that you obey God? Because kids will pick up on what's right and what's wrong. And if they see us doing things that aren't quite right. And let me just give you an illustration. You have caller ID. The phone rings. You look at it. You don't want to talk to that person. And so you tell your spouse to pick up the phone and tell them that you're not there. What did you just teach your child to do? To lie. But it's okay. I don't really have time to talk to that person. I don't have the energy to talk to that person. So I'll do it later. So I'm just not here. We justify what we do because we're adults and we can handle it. But our children are watching us. If you want your child to obey you, then get a relationship with God and obey Him. What's the second most important relationship in your life? Your spouse. If you want, fathers, if you want your children to respect their mother and honor their mother, respect her too. Wives, mothers, if you want your children to respect their father and your husband, you show respect. Boy, it gets awful quiet in here when we get serious, doesn't it? But I'll tell you, I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven. And you can be too. But it's always good to hear from God's Word what we need to hear. If you take your Bible and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 2, it says, honor your father and your mother. Where did that come from? Came from the Ten Commandments. That's commandment number 5. That your life may be long. I want my life to never end. I want my child's life to never end. And in order to do that, I've got to have my relationship with God. And last week, men, we talked about relationships, and I think some of you turned me off. Because we don't like to talk about relationships. We don't like to talk about feelings. And yet God put with us women who do. So he must have expected us to talk about it sometimes because women like that and need that. And we happen to like and need women too. So he put us together, and sometimes we've got to do things we don't necessarily find enjoyable. But we discovered last week that all men love relationships and they love talking about it too. We just pick the ones we want to talk about. Our favorite sports teams, our favorite NASCAR driver, our favorite golfer. By the way, mine's Jack Nicklaus, not Tiger Woods. Jack Nicklaus was a gentleman's gentleman. He played the game for the love of it. We have a relationship with our remotes and our big screen TVs. And we do show feelings and emotions. I've been to the Diamondbacks game there, and it will never be Chase Field. It's going to always be Bob to me. And I've seen our team score a run, and it's not just the ladies standing up and jumping for joy when we hit a home run. The men stand up, and they're showing their emotions. They're showing their feelings. You see, men, we just choose when we're going to do it. A relationship with God, a relationship with our spouse, and then in the context of a family that God has ordained, we bring children into the world and we teach them to know and love God, just as we know and love God. Proverbs 22:6. My clicker has ceased to work. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. How does a child learn about life? As Pastor Gary said about the purity seminar, you may not want your children to know certain things about life and the way life starts and the way life happens, but if you don't talk to them about that, somebody will. If you don't give them the proper information in a godly setting, somebody will give them misinformation in an ungodly setting. Train up a child. There was a mother who took her son to the zoo. You can click the next slide there, Gary, and then that will be the end for now. I'm glad to have him as my assistant back there. That's great. Took son to the zoo, and in the zoo there was a man that had a monkey, and that monkey was outside the cage, and that monkey did all kinds of tricks, and as the man played his little organ grinder thing, the monkey did a dance, the monkey did this, the monkey did that, and little Johnny stood there and looked at that monkey thinking, this is awesome, it's incredible, and the mother looked at that little monkey and said, this is awesome, this is incredible, and she said, Johnny, why don't you mind like that monkey? And Johnny says, that monkey's been trained. That hits a little close to home. As I say, I'm a professional and an expert in this area. I have failed my children. There's nothing, well, I shouldn't say that. This is one of the most difficult things I've ever had to do, is to sit down with my daughters and say, girls, I have blown it. I've made a mistake, and I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? But isn't that what the Heavenly Father does with us when we come to Him? He forgives. What does God want us to do in life? He wants us to submit who we are and acknowledge who He is. And that's what worship really is all about. You know, the Scots mentioned the fact that we have three services in this church, and they're all just a little bit different. Some people like this service, and they like that service, and they wouldn't go to those two, but they'll go to this one. Did you know that worship's not about you? Worship is what you bring to God. Some of us just find a little bit more comfortable to bring ourselves to God in different ways, and that's okay. God loves variety. Just look at the people in this room. He loves variety. Children, I'll talk to you just for a minute. God wants you to be the best child possible, and He gave you a parent to help teach you things. Listen to them. They're not perfect. You know that. They make mistakes. But listen to them. The Bible gives us instructions for a reason. It's to help prepare us for eternity. And that's where I want to be. Spend eternity in heaven. Fathers, husbands, the best thing you can do for your kids is love their mother. Mothers, wives, the best thing you can do for your children is to love their dad. And if you are struggling with that and how to figure it out, I've got something I want to recommend to you. First and foremost, that relationship with God has to be solid. He'll help you with all the other relationships in your life. But if you want to find kind of, how many of you guys like movies? There's several people here who don't like movies. Okay. And this isn't for you. There's a church that has put out three movies, and in this church we have seen two of them. We've seen the movie Flywheel. It's about a used car salesman who gets saved and does the unthinkable, gives money back to people he's cheated. We've seen the movie Facing the Giants. About a football team, but it's more about the coach who starts depending upon God every day and says, whatever you want from me, God, I'll give it to you. It's some of the worst acting you'll ever see, but it's some of the best movies you'll love. There's a third movie in the series. It's called Fireproof. Husbands, if you want to fireproof your marriage, get that movie and watch it. No matter what your wife does or doesn't do, if you follow the plan in that movie, you'll not only fall in love with God, but you'll fall in love with your wife again, and she you. Why is it if your husband isn't quite the man he used to be? Get the movie Fireproof and sit down and watch it with him. It's got enough entertainment value that guys will like it. There's a fire captain, there's a car wreck, there's a burning house. Great. There's a train accident. There's stuff for us there, guys, so you'll enjoy it. It's time, I believe, we're living in the close of Earth's history. The Bible says in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man comes again. I look around me, and I don't see, if God doesn't come soon, He's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. It's that bad. We need to be getting ready to see Jesus come and go home to live with Him. I want to read a couple of verses for you to the parents who have children. I guess if you're a parent, you'll have children. Proverbs 4:1, hear, my children, the instruction of your father, and give attention to know and understand. Proverbs 5:7, therefore hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Proverbs 7:24, therefore listen to me, my children, pay attention to the words of my mouth. Proverbs 20, verse 7, the righteous man walks in integrity. His children are blessed after him. What does the righteous man have to do? Walk in integrity. Your children are watching you. What does integrity stand for? I think this class this morning in Sabbath school, that was discussed. What is integrity? I heard a very good definition. It's who you are, right, Ron? When nobody's around. Guess what? You may not think anybody's around, but your children are watching. Fathers, mothers, have integrity. And this one, Hebrews 2:13, and again, I will put my trust in him, and again, here am I, and the children whom God has given me. Parents, I want you to mind your kids. Because when Jesus comes and we stand before that great throne, God's going to ask you one question. Would you like to know what that is? Where are your children that I have given you? If your child doesn't really want to know anything about God, do some self-reflecting and find out what your relationship with God is like. What have you modeled to them? Fathers, you are the first picture of God that your children see. When I get to heaven, I want to be standing there with my wife and my children. Because I don't want to have to look God in the face and say, you know what, I got a little busy doing your work. And they kind of strayed away. Most of our kids have cell phones. Parents, mind your children. We have a rule in our house, and it's very difficult to enforce, but we do it. There are no cell phones at the table. If you call me during dinner, it will just ring. There's no texting at the table. And the reason why I came up with that is because I didn't want my daughters to text me during dinner. I wanted them to talk to me. I've heard this happening in schools where the kids are texting each other and they're sitting across the table from each other at lunchtime. Or they're texting each other in class. They're losing the ability to communicate other than with the keyboard. And kids are freaking out because they're not used to the body language anymore. While you're sitting around that dinner table, while you're sitting there, instead of watching TV, have your child come over and sit with you and say, can I see your cell phone? I know the kids are going to hate me for this. Can I see your cell phone? Go through and look at the text in their inbox that they received with them. Look at the text that they have sent in their outbox. You'd be amazed at the conversations your children are having. And some people in this church are worried about what is being said in our purity seminar. It's going on their phones. And they're getting a lot of misinformation. Sit down beside them at their computer and say, can I see your MySpace account? They may be mad. They may yell at you. But guess who the parent is? Guess who's going to be asked by God, where is your child when you get to heaven? Do everything possible to keep your children safe. Know where they are. When I was growing up, my home was the center of our youth group, and I hated that. Every Friday night, there were 70 kids in our house. Now, we only had 35 kids in our youth group. Where'd the other 35 come from? Well, they came from the other church in town. Why were the kids at my mom's house, at my house? Because she made homemade cinnamon rolls for them. She wanted to know where her kids were on Friday night. It got so big, we didn't have room for 70 kids, so we moved to the church. Now imagine this for a second. Friday night, food being served in the church. That's just terrible. That's wrong. At least the deacon thought so. He came in one night and just chewed my mother out for having crumbs on the floor. And my mother was very patient, and she said, sir, she called him by his name, do you know where your kids are tonight? And he kind of sheepishly said, no, I don't. She said, I do. They're inside that room learning about the love of Jesus around a cinnamon roll. He never said anything more about that. Parents, mind your kids. Know where they are. Be with them. Spend time with them. God did not give you children to have somebody else raise. There's an old song. Is it called Cats in the Cradle? When you coming home, Dad? You know? We'll get together then, and pretty soon the son grows up, and the dad wants to spend time with his son. And what does he say? Son, Dad, I'm busy. Maybe some other time. We'll get together another time. Spend time. Quality time with your kids. Spend time in family worship. That's almost a bad word, even within Adventism anymore. We don't want to spend time with family worship, maybe because we're not having worship with God any other time either. And as I've said, I'm not perfect, I'm just forgiven. I'm going to make a couple of suggestions that I hope you as parents put into practice. First and foremost, love God. Second, love your spouse, even to give your life for him or her, and love your children. And you can show that you love your children by requiring a few things of them. Now, parents, we get into the problems of wanting to be our children's friend. That's not what God put you on the planet for, to be your child's friend. He puts you there to be their mother and father, to guide them and mold them into godly young people. Train up a child in the way they should go. How do you train a child? By letting them go do whatever they want to do? No. I want you to try an experiment. For the next 2 months, that's 8 Sabbaths, this is going to help Pastor Gary and I take back some of the halls and rooms in the church. Parents, I want your children to sit with you in church. Train up a child in the way she should go. If you don't want them talking in church, guess what? You don't talk in church. If you want them in their Sabbath school classroom, you be in a Sabbath school classroom. You don't want them talking back, be respectful of them as well. But for the next 2 months, make some room on your pew for them and have your children sit with you. And then, we may advance into something else, but after that's over, let's see how that works. See how you're doing as a family. The family that prays together stays together. And that's a cliche, I know it, but it's true. The family that worships together stays together. The family that plays together stays together. Now, we're all a family here today. We worship, we pray, and we play. I'm going to say it 2 different ways now to close. Parents, mind your children. And children, obey and respect your parents. For this, what does it say? Is right in the Lord. Can we be an example to the community of how family is supposed to be? When they look at this church body and they say, wow, Look at what they do as a family unit. Look at what they do as a church for their children. They care about them. Studies show that kids, their job is to do what? Push the boundaries. What is a parent's job? Set them. Studies show that kids who do not have boundaries set, they can do whatever they want, are insecure, they're unhappy, and they wish their parents loved them. That's from kids. That's not some psychologist coming up with the idea of, oh, if they have boundaries, they'll feel loved. That's from kids saying, when I know my parents love me because they put boundaries. Kids' jobs are to push them, but parents, it's our job to set them. And if you don't be consistent with them, then you are minding your children. And I don't mean that in a good way. They're in charge. They're not mature enough to be in charge of your family. Train them in the Lord. Be godly parents. Let's be godly families, and we'll be a godly church. Let's pray.